The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 24, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on May 24th, 2008, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 1, the first step in God realization, Text Number 24.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Visheshastasya dehoyam stavishtaschatstavhiyasam yathedam vyajyate vishvam bhutam bhavyam bhavachchasat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Our Savior, Savior of the whole universe, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal resultant past, present, and future of material time is experienced. Purport. Anything material, either material or spiritual, is but an expansion of the energy in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 13:13, the omnipotent Lord has His transcendental eyes, heads, and other bodily parts distributed everywhere. He can see, hear, touch, or manifest Himself anywhere and everywhere, for He is present everywhere as the Supersoul of all infinitesimal souls, although He has His particular abode in the Absolute World. The relative world is also His phenomenal representation, because it is nothing but an expansion of His transcendental energy. Although He is in His abode, His energy is distributed everywhere, just as the sun is localized as well as expanded everywhere. Since the rays of the sun, being non-different from the sun, are accepted as expansions of the sun disk. In the Vishnu Purana 122.52, it is said that as fire expands its heats and rays, its rays and heat from one place, similarly, the Supreme Spirit, the Personality of Godhead, expands Himself by His manifold energy everywhere and anywhere. The phenomenal manifestation of the gigantic universe is only a part of His Virat body. Less intelligent men cannot conceive of the transcendental, all-spiritual form of Lord. They are astounded by His different energies, just as the Aborigines are struck with wonder by the manifestations of lightning, a gigantic mountain, or a hugely expanded banyan tree. Do you have banyan trees in Malaysia? Huh? No? No banyan. You do. Yeah. The Aborigines praise the strength of the tiger and the elephant because of their superior energy and strength. The Asuras cannot recognize the existence of a Lord, although there are vivid descriptions of a Lord in the revealed scriptures. Although the Lord incarnates and exhibits His uncommon strength and energy, and although He is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by learned saints and scholars like Vyasadeva, Narada, Asita, and Dela in the past, and by Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, and also by the Acharyas like Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, and Lord Chaitanya in the modern age. The Asuras do not accept any evidential proof in the revealed scriptures, nor do they recognize the authority of the great Acharyas. They want to see with their own eyes at once. Therefore, they can see the gigantic body of the Lord as Virat, which will answer their challenge. And since they are accustomed to paying homage to superior material strength like that of a tiger, elephant, and lightning, they can offer respect to the Virat Rupa. Lord Krishna, by the request of Arjuna, exhibited his Virat Rupa for the Asuras. The pure devotee of the Lord, being unaccustomed to looking into such a mundane, gigantic form of the Lord, requires special vision for the purpose. The Lord therefore favored Arjuna with special vision for looking into his Virat Rupa, which is described in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This Virat Rupa of the Lord was especially manifested, and not for the benefit of Arjuna, but for the unintelligent class of men who accept anyone and everyone as the incarnation of the Lord, and so mislead the general mass of people. For them, the indication is that one should ask the cheap incarnation to exhibit his Virat Rupa and thus be established as an incarnation. The Virat Rupa manifestation of the Lord is simultaneously a challenge to the atheist and a favor for the Asuras, who can think of the Lord as the Virat and thus gradually cleanse the dirty things from their hearts in order to become qualified to actually see the transcendental form of the Lord in the near future. This is a favor of the all-merciful Lord to the atheists and the gross materialists.
Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Mada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shya Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Hagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
There's an amazing statement here that Prabhupada makes. He's saying how by this Virat Rupa, which is a favor for the Asuras, they can think of the Lord as Virat and thus gradually cleanse the dirty thing from their hearts in order to become qualified to actually see the transcendental form of the Lord in the near future. Now, to see the transcendental form of the Lord, that's no cheap thing. As Brahmaji states, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Velochanena Santaksa Daivarhida Yaisha Velokayanti Yang Shamashundaram Chintya Gunasvarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamahambhajami. To actually see the transcendental form of the Lord, that is the greatest achievement. For the bhaktas also, that is a great thing. If you can become so purified that you can see the transcendental form of the Lord within your heart and within everything, wherever you go. When you're walking down the street, In Kuala Lumpur, a pure devotee, he can see Krishna everywhere. So this is a very high state of consciousness, to see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna, wherever you go, and to see him in your heart, in his beautiful form of Shyam Sundar. Can you imagine seeing Shyam Sundar everywhere, wherever you go? You see? But here, Prabhupada is saying how the atheist can become qualified to see Krishna in the very near future. Near future. That's what amazes me. Prabhupada is in the near future. So how one can go from being asura to becoming qualified to seeing Krishna in the near future? That's an amazing thing. A very amazing thing. There's so many steps one has to go through in order to be able to see Krishna. You see? You have to have faith in the process, that's the first thing, shraddha. The second is you have to associate with devotees, sadhu sangha. The third is bhajana kriya. You have to become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and follow the rules and regulations. Bhajana kriya. The third step. The fourth step is anartha nivritti. You give up all of your bad habits. You see, you throw away all the bad mentalities and the bad habits that you have. The laziness, you know. The lust, you see, the anger, the greed, the badness, the illusion, the envy, you throw it out. You kick it out. You say, get out of my heart. I don't want you here. Kama, krodha, loba, matsa, matsarya, madda, moha, matsarya, get out of my heart. Gone, finished, you see. That's called anartha nivritti. And then from there you go to nishta. You become fixed, solid, fixed up devotee, you see. No more wavering under the influence of Maya Devi, you see. What is that verse? Yata dipo nivatasto nengate sopamasprita. Yogido yachatittasya yunjato yogamatmanaha. You see. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady, always fixed in his meditation on the transcendent self. You see. So a devotee who comes to the nishta stage, now he's like a lamp in a windless place. His mind doesn't flicker. A beautiful naked woman can walk by. He won't bat an eyelash, you see. He'll just be fixed in Krishna consciousness. It won't disturb his mind, you see. That's nishta. You see, he's very, very solidly fixed. You see. He doesn't waver for a second. Like, oh, no. Maybe. No. He doesn't waver for a minute, you see. He's completely solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then from that nishta stage, ruchi, oh, he gets such a sweet taste. Just like, what is that wonderful sweet? We all devotees like that gulab jamun, you see. Everyone loves the gulab jamuns. Very nice gulab jamuns oozing with sugar water, you see. You see. Ruchi, there's some real ruchi there in gulab jamun, you see. But just imagine that every time you say Hare Krishna, it's like eating the most delicious gulab jamun. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see? Ruchi. When you become just so much taste, when you chant Hare Krishna, it's like the supreme love feast. Every time you got your love feast in your bead bag, you see. I got a Maha love feast in my bead bag, you see. 1,728 preps, you see. Each bead is in like another prep. Oh, wow, another bead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. And now another bead. Wow. Hare Krishna, Hare. And this is called ruchi. When you get to the ruchi stage, every day you have a love feast of 1,728 preps. Wow. Japa. That's ruchi. When you get to the ruchi stage, it's like that. 1,728 amazing preparations. Each bead is a whole unique experience, you see. And then you go even higher. If that wasn't high enough, then you go to a sakti. I've read in Prabhupada's books that a sakti, you actually realize what is your rasa with Krishna in this transcendental kingdom. When you get to the asakti stage, you see. And if that wasn't enough nectar, then you go to bhava, where you have volcanic eruptions of symptoms within your heart. And then prema, when it becomes completely matured, you see. And you can see Krishna at every minute, you see. So that's quite a transition, going from a neophyte devotee to being a prema bhakti, you see, one who has pure prema. And that seems like a very long road for us, doesn't it? Like a long, 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 long road. But here, Prabhupada, this is what amazes me. Here he says how the asura can see Krishna in the near future. I'm amazed by Prabhupada's statement. In the near future, he's not even a neophyte devotee yet. He's an out-and-out asura. But he can see in the near future. That's amazing. So that means, if the asura can see in the near future, then also we neophyte devotees, we can also see in the near future. So we should be very enthusiastic to see Krishna. Actually, there's a story in this connection. There was an asura who saw Krishna very quickly. Do you know that story? True story. This is some centuries ago in India. So there was one thief, you see. And he was looking for somebody to rob, you see. But he walked by, there was a big Bhagavad discourse going on, a Bhagavatam class going on. He thought, maybe I can steal something. I'll go in there and maybe I can steal something during the Bhagavatam class. So he came sneaking in, you know, walking around, trying to look like just an innocent person. You know, thieves are pretty good at that. But he heard what the Bhagavatam, what the devotee was preaching, and he was amazed. This devotee said that in Vrindavan there is this little boy, Krishna, and he's loaded with valuable jewels, and he wanders all alone in the forest with nobody else, just all by himself with all these valuable jewels. And the thief went, oh, a little boy with nobody to protect him, wandering in the Vrindavan forest all alone, loaded with valuable jewels? Wow. I'm going to go to Vrindavan. I'll become a millionaire overnight. So he headed out for Vrindavan. He wanted to go to Vrindavan to steal Krishna's jewels, you see. So he headed out walking across India, you know, day after day, walking, thinking, oh, I'm going to get to Vrindavan. I'm going to see Krishna. And he got all those jewels. He went day after day. Finally, he got to Vrindavan. You know, Vrindavan's a huge area. Even now, I know a few years ago, I went all the way from Vrindavan town to Kamyavan, the other side of Brajmandal. That took hours in a jeep. Riding in a motor vehicle, it took many hours to get all the way to Kamyavan. But you can imagine walking all the way to Kamyavan. And wandering through that whole area. So he was wandering for weeks and weeks and weeks. He was looking, where is Krishna? 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 I want to get those jewels. Where is he? Where is that jewel-laden little boy, you see? And finally, one day, Krishna, very kindly, even though this rascal simply was lusty to become wealthy man, see, Krishna was so kind because this man was always thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Krishna kindly revealed himself. So of course the thief said, oh Krishna, you have so many value. My dear little boy, you have so many valuable jewels. Can you give me some? He immediately just wanted the jewels. And then Krishna, he said, no, 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 no. Mother Yasoda will be, she will chastise me. He played the part of a little boy. He was afraid his mother would scold him if he gave away any of the jewels. No, I can't do it. Mother Yasoda will chastise. No, 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 no. But then the thief, actually he became purified by associating with Krishna. He became a pure devotee. Then Krishna said, all right, you can take. At that time, he didn't even want the jewels. He hadn't gotten Krishna prema. So even a thief, because he's so eager to rob Krishna, even a thief, he can have Krishna darshan. What to speak of a devotee? You see? If a devotee is very, very, very eager to develop bhakti, then Krishna can easily reveal himself to such a devotee in the near future. So how is it that these asuras are getting this favor, this Virat Rupa? If they can imagine this form, it's like I'm traveling all over the world. We're seeing the Virat Rupa out of the airplane window, see? Flying over Japan, flying over here, flying over there, and there's mountains, there's oceans. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. So one can see this as a form of the Lord, the Virat form. Even it's described all the trees or the hairs on his body. It's described that because Krishna was walking on this planet 5,000 years ago, the earth is experiencing bhava, symptoms of bhava, by standing of the hairs. So the trees are standing up. This is the ecstatic symptom of the earth having just gotten the touch of Krishna's lotus feet on the earth's surface. So in this way we can see this Virat form of the Lord. And of course we see that there are people who do that. They worship nature. They think nature is sacred. I want to go out to the forest and sit on a mountaintop and watch the sun come up. They are engaged in worshipping the Virat Rupa, you see. Those kind of people. Nature lovers. I want to go to the forest, you know, and watch, and sit by the brook and watch and the waterfall. And this way they feel it's spiritual. So these people are meditating on the Virat Rupa form of the Lord, the universal body of the Lord, thinking that it's worshipable. So that's good for them. If they can understand the worshipable nature of this universal body of the Lord, because it is a form of Him. At least it can be understood in that way. So, in this way, we can see how kind Krishna is, that He allows people to think of His gigantic universal body as being a form of God. In this way, they can become purified and become devotees in the near future. So this is the great kindness of Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. Better come here and tell me. I'm somewhat deaf, so come and tell me in my ear.
The question is,
come close.
The story about a thief.
Yeah.
Was the thief first purified and then Krishna revealed? Or the Krishna revealed?
No, Krishna, he saw the Lord's form even while he was still filled with lusty desires. That was the amazing thing Baba described. Because when Krishna came, he was still begging for the jewels. That's an amazing thing. There's another story that Prabhupada tells. There was some lady carrying sticks in the forest, big burden of sticks, gathering firewood, you know. You may have heard this story. But she got so tired carrying the sticks, they fell on the ground. She went, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." And Krishna appeared and said, "Yes?" Instead of taking advantage that now here is Krishna, I can become a devotee, she said, "Can you put the sticks back on my shoulder?" So sometimes Krishna, even to an atheist or a materialist, can reveal himself. It's extraordinary. It's not the normal thing. But Krishna can do anything. You see, he's not bound. Krishna doesn't have to follow the GBC regulations. He can do whatever he wants. He's the supreme independent personality of Godhead. So if he wants to show himself to an atheist, see, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He does everything for his own fun, actually. Everything he does is for fun. If he can take great pleasure in revealing himself to a thief in the forest, he'll do it. If somehow or other Krishna can find something pleasurable in doing that, he will do it. The man, the thief, was so intensely wondering, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? Even though his desire was material, because of that intense desire to see the Lord, he got the Lord's darshan. So you can imagine, if the thief, even a thief, is getting Krishna's darshan, if we're actually devotees, we can also qualify for the Lord's darshan. And you know what Prabhupada personally told me? I have received a direct order from Srila Prabhupada. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Direct order from Prabhupada to me. I qualify myself to directly be able to see Krishna. So it is possible. A devotee can have that darshan. If the thief can have, certainly a devotee can also have. So we have to qualify ourselves. Don't we sing that way? Jagannath Swami Nayanabhatagami Bhava to me. My dear Jagannath Swami, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. Aren't we praying to have the darshan, to be able to directly see God? So how do we have to qualify ourselves? In this connection, Bhakti said unto Sarasvati Thakur, said, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God will want to see you. What does that mean? Here's a very nice example. Just imagine you're working at some big corporation like, you know, Panasonic or something. And you want to meet the CEO. You'd like to have a meeting with the CEO of Panasonic Corporation. So, you're just that ordinary worker. Will you ever get an appointment? Never. No way. They'll never let you in. But if there's some emergency happens, a fire breaks out in the office, and you do some heroic act, and you save the co-workers, then the CEO will come to you personally. He'll give you a medal. He'll shake your hand. You'll be honored, you see. If you do some meritorious activity, then the CEO, you will easily see the CEO because he will come to see you. So in this way, don't try to barge your way into the kingdom of God, you know, like Durvasa Muni or something. Or by like the space program, you know, we're going to build a spaceship. Like NASA in the U.S., going to make some powerful spaceships. No. You just try to act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. By offering an arti with so much love and devotion that you'll actually see that the deity is not a statue, but he's actually Krishna personally standing in front of you. You see. That you offer that arti with so much love and devotion. Or you cook an offering for the Lord with so much love that Krishna will personally come and eat. You'll be able to see how he comes and eats it. Prabhupada could see that, you know. He could see how the deity was actually eating the prasadam. We could not see, but Prabhupada could see. You see. So if we try to do, or we go out for preaching work, you see, to make some devotees, or go out on Harinam Sankirtan, try to dive so deeply. Do you know that Lord Chaitanya sometimes does? He actually personally manifests in the Sankirtan. You know that? That Leela? The first Gaur Purnima festival that was organized by Janava Mata and Narottam. You know the story? The first Gaur Purnima festival, the Panchatattva, they had already departed from this world. But that kirtan went on with so much bhakti that the Panchatattva came and they were actually dancing in the kirtan with all the devotees. See? So, if you want to have that darshan of Krishna, then whatever you're doing, if you're chanting your rounds, if you're studying, whatever you're doing, do it with great, and try to do it with the greatest amount of love that you possibly can muster. And then Krishna can personally come and reveal himself. So, any other questions? The question is, are we not qualified to go back to God until we reach the bhava stage? Prabhupada has said different things. And one time he said that you have to become completely pure to go back to God. 100% pure. That means prem, pure prem. Not even bhava. But he also stated, even if you're 90% pure. It was a story, one time in Montreal, he was actually giving the class, and he was preaching, you must become 100% pure if you want to go back to God. So the devotees were a little dejected that how we can ever become 100% pure. So then Prabhupada said, even if you're 90%, 80%, he went all the way down to 70%. And then you can go back to God. Because Krishna is very kind, you see. He sees the sincerity. Actually, in the university, I don't know about the grading system here, but in America, when I was a boy in the school, 100% was a perfect grade. 90%, that was considered a good grade. 80% was considered average, and 70% was considered passing. 69% was fail, but 70% was passing. So even if you didn't have a completely perfect score, you could still pass. So one time Prabhupada said like that. But does that mean, okay, that's great. I can try 70% to be a devotee, and the other 30% I can, engage in sense gratification. That's how we should think? No. Because if you think, well, I'll just be 70% Krishna conscious, 70% of the time I'll be, and the rest of the time I'll, listen to mundane music, smoke cigarettes, and, have illicit sex 30% of the time. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to strive for 100% purity. Sincerely strive for 100% purity with our every thought, our every word, and our every deed in all times, all places, and all circumstances. And if you do that with full sincerity, even if you're a little short, you see. I've even seen one time I was taking some course, and I had tried really hard the whole semester. It was the final exam. I was having a little trouble. The professor knew my sincerity. They said, here's a bonus question. They gave me a bonus question. It was worth five. It added 5 points to my grade if I got it right. So if a mundane teacher can give a bonus question to help you raise your score, you see, Krishna can also do. So the thing is, you really have to sincerely try to give your love to Krishna. And if there's some slight deficiency at the time of death, he can give you some bonus points to help you pass the exam, you see. But the key is you have to strive sincerely. Satatang yatatang satatang yuktanang pajatang prittipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. You see. You have to sincerely, to those who are always trying, engaging constantly in my devotional service, you have to be sincere. That's the point. Sincerely try to become a pure devotee, the best of your ability. And if you're in that mood, then Krishna will cover you, even if you didn't quite make it at the end. He'll cover you. But if you're lax, if you're not serious, guess what? You have to come again. Take birth again. One is not serious of becoming a pure devotee, they definitely take birth again. Definitely take birth again. So everyone must strive for pure devotion. I want to become completely free. No karma, no jnana, no yoga. All material desires, zero. We must strive for that position. You may say, but how can I enjoy it? Now that's how you really enjoy it. We sometimes think if I'm too austere, then, that sounds a little too austere. No karma, no yoga, no jnana. All material desires, zero. It's too austere. How can I be happy? No. That's when you really start to taste the nectar. You see, when you kick out all material desires, the material desires get out of here. Mr. Lust, Mr. Anger, Mr. Greed, Mr. Madness, Mr. Illusion, Mr. Envy. Get the hell out of here and don't you ever come back, you see. When you take that mood with your own heart, you'll be amazed at how much nectar you can taste at every minute. You'll really be amazed at how much nectar you can be drinking. The sweetest, most sublime nectar you can be tasting at every minute. From the moment you get up to the moment you take rest at night. Doesn't matter what ashram, you can be a grihastha with a wife and kids and a job. You can be a brahmacharini, a brahmachari, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha. It doesn't matter what is your position. You can be a pot washer, you can be an initiating guru. It doesn't matter what your service is. You see, that if you can kick out all these desires, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, just kick them out with boot. You'll be amazed at how much nectar you can taste at every minute. That I knew Krishna consciousness was good, but I had no idea it was this good. Wow, this is amazing. You can actually taste it like that. You'd be amazed. I knew this was supposed to be a good thing, and that's why I joined, but I never realized it was this good. Actually, there's Krishna consciousness is inconceivably ecstatic. We don't even understand how ecstatic it is yet. I'll be honest with you. We do not yet understand how ecstatic it is. But the more we progress, the more we can wake up from the sleep of Maya, you see, the more we will taste inconceivable nectar. So anyway, I'm very happy that you all have come today to hear some words of wisdom from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I guarantee you, if you will take this Bhagavad philosophy as your life and soul, you will be tasting the sweetest nectar at every minute. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.